Well, hello everybody, and welcome to an utter episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Pauly Presenza, otherwise known as the Moo Cow, Moo. And we are joined today by...
your co-host, Jonathan Moody.
How's it going?
Good.
And we have several special guests here with us tonight. I'm going to go ahead and let them introduce themselves. First we have...
Hi, I'm G. Larry Butler.
Yay! And along with G. Larry Butler, we have...
I'm Sarah Adkins.
Yay! And along with those two, we have...
I'm Cody Hancock.
Outstanding. Welcome! Five for the price of one today for our episode. And what episode is that? Well, glad you asked. We are going in the way, way back machine, all the way back to 1990. And the episode is going to be Flesh Gordon meets the Cosmic Cheerleaders, otherwise known as Flesh Gordon 2, because there was a porn Flesh Gordon back in 1974, same guy. This is not the porn version. This is the ridiculous, silly, stupid, weird, soft porn parody version.
We promise.
And it's weird and strange and terrible, but should be a lot of fun. But before we get to that, we're going to listen to some mood music, and we'll be right back. Okay, and we are back. So, who wants to talk first about this ridiculous movie? Flash Gordon meets the Cosmic Cheerleaders. Okay, Sarah, you look like you're dying to say something.
Well, I'm just saying this movie had so much to it. It was jam-packed of just... joke after joke after joke, and it's so much to unfold. I don't even know how to begin with this.
Turd impacted.
Constipation 1 and 2, right?
Was it tic-tacular?
Yes, it was titillating. Yes. The Cosmic Cheerleaders were amazing. They were very nude, but they were amazing, which was also amazing, but yes.
I mean, they really weren't... I mean, they were nude for a little bit, but mostly they just kind of ran around in skimpy costumes.
Yeah, but that one... That in the beginning, they were a little more.
Mm-hmm. But what did you think overall?
Overall, I actually really enjoyed it, and it's something that I would own. I would own and I would show it to my friends. Wow. I loved it.
Surprised.
I don't really see movies like that often, honestly. It was kind of new for me, and it was fun. Like,
okay.
I liked all the critters, like the monsters and everything like that. And I'm a bit of a dirty birdie. I enjoyed it.
Cody, what about you?
Man, I'm at a loss for words, to be 100% honest.
It's almost like you have a dick in your mouth. Just can't say it.
Yeah? Yeah, production value is actually decent for a movie of its sort.
Of its sort. It had a high budget, right? Like $1.5 million.
$1.5 million, yeah.
For back then, too, though, that stretched a lot farther than it does now.
Just like practical effects.
Just like many of the planets.
By the way, there's going to be a lot of sexual jokes in this because of the movie. We're all in that mindset. Yes, we were in that mindset. So, yes, you were saying you're at a loss for words.
I'm at a loss for words still.
All right.
Yeah, I can't.
Well, let's bounce it over to G. Larry Butler. What did you think of this movie?
It's reminiscent of the Double D Avenger in a way, except it took it a little farther.
Definitely took it farther. They took it pretty far. Yeah.
His was a G rated compared to this.
Yeah,
right.
I actually thought Double D Avenger was pretty hardcore until I watched this.
I kept saying, "I'm like, William Winkler must have seen this. He must have loved this.
I think it inspired him." You know, when the boobies were bouncing, there was a boing, boing, boing.
That does inspire most men.
Right? The same sound effects.
Right, 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 right.
That William Winkler uses, so I don't know. I really was impressed, because it was the 90s, with some of the special effects.
Yeah.
I don't know how they happened to do that.
Right, but, right, 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 right.
You know, they did a very good job. The subject matter was a little beyond me my advanced age. So I was like, oh my god.
But, you feel a little embarrassed watching it with people or something?
Thank God he said,
right?
He said, make sure you get a stinky movie for our buddy G. Larry
Butler. Oh, thank you, Jonathan. No, nobody saw me in the back. I
know, you're
sleeping.
In the back.
They're like, this is a live viewing. We're gonna have this movie. Yeah.
I kept waking up thinking, am I dreaming?
Hallucinating?
What are they putting in my tea? My God.
I thought our laughter was gonna wake you up.
It did, I think, a couple
right?
times.
Well, yeah, but I'd go right back to
that flaccid rage.
So Moody, what about you? What did you think?
Okay, so you had told us before a little bit about this movie, and that, especially the title, just, oh my god. So I was like, all right, I kind of expected Double D Avenger style humor, but yeah, it went above and beyond that kind of stuff. You said before, too, that it reminded you a little bit of, like, The Forbidden Zone and... Mm-hmm. Couple other films that we've reviewed and everything. It kind of does, but
times 10.
Yeah, I mean it was, I wonder if you have a movie that goes a little even further than this movie.
Of course.
Oh,
I do.
I'm sure.
But it had a lot of dick and fart jokes and boobies and
right. I kind of want to see the original now.
Poop.
First one.
She wants to watch the Flesh Gordon.
Right. So I'll give a little bit of background on this. So yes, Flesh Gordon meets the Cosmic Cheerleaders, a.k.a. Flesh Gordon 2, was made in 1990. It was directed and written by Howard Zielm, Z-I-E-L-M, who was a director and producer of dirty, filthy smut movies in the 70s. He called them beaver movies. Okay. And in 1974, he did the porn parody Flesh Gordon, which is fairly infamous because it's pretty bad. And
so who was the original Flesh Gordon? Some like porn actor guy?
Yeah, I forget who the guy
was. Vince
was
not a
porn actor. No. But my plan was to show that on Sexploitation Sleazecast and inflict it on poor Rebecca Reinhardt. It's going to love it. But I knew that after all of these other sex movies, for whatever reason, Howard Zielm came up and said, I'm going to try and go legit. And I'm going to make a porn parody that doesn't really have porn, but has enough sex and fart and poop jokes that I think I can make my breakout hit.
And he did. Those are my favorite jokes.
How did it do at the box office?
Well, it made $1.3 million. So you figure it cost $1.5 million and it made $1.3 million.
Now, it lost $0.2
million. Whether that actually was released in the theaters, I have very much doubted. I've got to think, because I remember this, I saw this years ago in the VHS, copy.
This was on VHS?
This was on VHS.
Well, out in 1990. Well, now it's on DVD because I just looked it up on Amazon.
You can buy
both movies together for $65.
Outstanding.
Wow. That's $65 well
Blu-ray?
Spent.
Is it Blu-ray? Because that would be fabulous.
I don't think they are. I think they're just regular DVDs for
$65. Wow.
4K.
But back 4K. In the day.
In 3D.
Back in the day, this is one of those VHS movies that was on every Monpa VHS movie corner store. So of course I saw it then and I was like, holy shit.
I bet my mom had it.
So
your mom had it.
I bet your mom had it, knowing her.
Nice.
I bet you should ask her about it.
So yeah, the director did all sorts of things previous to that. He did things like Hot Cookies and Star Virgin and all kinds of just beaver movies.
What's Hot Cookies?
It's gonna be a soft porn or porn movie that he made in the '70s.
Oh. All right.
They just had weird titles like that back then. Ridiculous.
Sugar Cookies.
Exactly.
There's a movie called Sugar Cookies.
And he wrote this one too.
Oh.
So then, of course, let's talk about the cast. Flesh Gordon himself was played by Vince Murdocco.
Yes. I love Vince.
Kickboxer 2. He was also in L.A. Wars, Ring of Fire, Night Hunter, and a bunch of other stuff.
He's I always liked him.
He was a professional
kickboxer. He was a professional kickboxer, and he was also a very, Like, you know, he's just a really good-looking, normal guy, you know? Like, he can play pretty
If you can well. Go with that Saved by the Bell hair.
Right. Yeah. Well, that hair is extra not as normal white teeth. Hair.
That really annoyed me.
All these actors in the movie are all new to me.
And
well,
right?
That, yeah, within a 1990 movie.
That was a thing back in the 80s and 90s, was in order to have your actions movies, you would end up hiring stunt people or people back in, you know, mixed martial arts or that sort of thing. And you could just build movies around it. I mean, think about Jim Cotta, you know, and Kirk Thomas and those other kinds of films that were made.
Now, did he specialize in martial arts films?
Yep. Okay. Yep, absolutely. But he was a kickboxer by profession. Okay. And then I think he did stunts and he did like fight coordinates.
Right. So not soft porn necessarily.
No.
That was his first venture.
No, this was there. He was hired strictly for his ability to kick people.
he did well at that.
He did a great job. Like the action scenes were of him doing like the kicking and shit was the best part.
That was the best part. As long as he didn't have to say anything because his acting was very
good. I thought his acting was really good.
I thought his acting was awful.
Oh, come on.
It was
on purpose. Like, that was the style in the cheese.
We've seen him in other things, and he wasn't quite as bad as that, so I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't mind him in it. Like, it's not like any of it was, like, cringeworthy,
right?
Which I think they were intentionally overacting.
I'm sure.
There are some that overacted.
Well, we know most of these girls probably aren't originally
Well, I wasn't even
acting.
Talking about the girls.
Yeah,
I was talking more of the scientist.
Speaking of the girls, Robin Kelly was the actress who played Dale Ardor, who was the sort of the lead actress.
Well,
she was only in kind of small bits and pieces here and there. She only has 4 IMDb credits. And so that clearly wasn't her thing. Now, whether she had another career in the X-rated business is possible. I didn't go and research that end of it, but it would not surprise me because clearly she had 2 prominent talents that was really the reason she was hired.
Wait, which one was she? Was she the...
She was Dale, the girlfriend.
The girlfriend, the one that got captured.
The one who gets captured, right.
I mean, yeah.
So, and then we have Dr. Jerkoff, who's played by Tony Travis. He was actually in a bunch of stuff, including Die Hard with a Vengeance. Let's see.
Who's he in
Die
Hard
and the Hunted?
Is he the mad scientist?
He was a
He was the Scottish scientist. Oh. He was the good guy scientist.
Playing like the Igor type.
No, he was the Scottish scientist.
He was the good guy scientist.
I enjoyed that.
The one with the beard.
The one that was like.
He was in a movie called Denounced.
He was chewing the scenery.
Yeah, he was a musician and a singer. And he did a whole bunch of stuff on Off-Broadway, and he was in an L.A. improv group called the Lunatics.
Well, he was well-suited for that.
There you go. So, so that was him. Let's see here. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention that the director, Howard Zinn, when he made his 70s porn movies, he was putting them out as Harry Hopper. So
Harry Hopper.
There you go.
The
Emperor Wang, who was the guy in the black getup before he finally gets a mask, is William Dennis Hunt. Now, the funny thing is, he's the only actor who was in both the original Flesh Gordon and the Flesh Gordon 2 Meets the Cosmic Cheerleaders thing. He's been in a bunch of stuff. For TV, he was in Plan 9. I mean, not Plan 9. He was in... Star Trek Deep Space Nine, he was in L.A. Law, he was in Babylon 5, he was in Alias, he was in NYPD Blue, and movies he was in Critters 3 and Dr. Giggles, if you remember him from that.
It says in this he was Evil Presence, that's what his IMDb.
That's him.
But that's the same character as the Emperor guy, I guess?
Right. Okay. He was until he's unmasked.
And then unmasked, and then he's, what was his name? Penis Brain, I thought. Earlier.
Well, they refer to him as Emperor Wang, and then somebody else calls him Penis Brain.
Okay.
But, and then we have Rotunda Hooters, who is the leader of the cheerleaders.
That's right.
She is Morgan Fox, and I believe that's her only credit. She pretty much was a Playboy.
She looked like one.
Yeah. And there were a number of Playboy playmates
or folks
who pretty much had no other
experience
other than being hot in a magazine.
Right.
Which is fine. That's cool. And, no shame. I did not kept the name of the guy who played the Igor-like assistant evil scientist. That guy, talk about over the top.
Of course.
Wow. You know,
but I mean,
was he Dr. Atom Bomb?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, he's Neil Grossman.
Neil Grossman, wow.
And he's only done one other thing. He was he played himself in a politicking with Larry King. He was a guest on Larry King.
Oh my god!
I'm wondering.
Were they talking about this movie?
You like to think so.
I would hope so. I don't know what the politics of Flesh Gordon is, but.
This movie was made for $1.5 million, and it pulled in $1.3 million. So, I mean...
Well, it's probably made its money back by now.
Sure.
Right, if people are still buying the DVD.
And who knows if he still has the rights.
To see it.
Right.
I don't know who's got the rights to it, but clearly somebody's
getting something off of the DVDs.
So, Sarah, do you think you can encapsulate sort of quickly what the plot is of this particular movie?
The plot is a villain who had some sort of work accident where he became flaccid, so he wanted to make everybody flaccid with the radiation, the flaccid radiation. So basically he wanted to kill everybody's boners and make every woman a cold bitch.
Ooh.
Yeah, so then they captured this Flesh Gordon guy who apparently could withstand the radiation.
This is the cheerleader chicks from
The cheerleader chicks
Cosmic
captured
High.
Him because apparently he can still get it up. So, the whole movie is basically just him trying to stop this flaccid ray so the world doesn't go flaccid, and there's so much in between. I mean, we have talking poos, we have a spider boob lady.
Talking poos!
We have some sort of leprechaun guy for some reason just thrown in there. We got a little octopus who likes to eat pussy,
There's a boner,
Octopus-y eater.
There's BDSM dog guys walking around with cupcakes and cream pies.
There was the scrotum creature.
There's a scrotum creature right. Who is basically a drag queen, and that was interesting.
Asteroids
that farted.
The farting asteroids.
Like I said, you kind of need to see this movie for yourself, and if you go on Amazon, you can buy it.
It was every 12-year-old's bad
it
joke.
Was like a somebody who just hit puberty wrote this movie. They casted all the playmates they saw in the magazines. They wrote this movie, and it was just flaccid wieners and tits.
So. Even at 12 years old, I was more sophisticated than the writing in this film.
I would
film.
Like to think so.
You all would like to think so, but I don't know.
This is probably something I would write.
Right? Sure. It's something I would write.
What do you think, G. Larry?
The movie's not for the faint of heart. If you're squeamish,
or the faint of fart.
Your jaw's going to drop. You're going to cover your mouth. You're going to go, oh my God,
you'll
did they just
pass
do that?
Out.
You're
going to
clutch your pearls.
Right? But you're going to laugh.
Like we said earlier, G. Larry Butler probably felt really ashamed watching this.
I felt ashamed watching. You saw me over.
I loved it.
God.
I was making.
I forgot.
How right, it was
bad
right in my ballpark.
See, you and Rebecca would get along.
Right,
really
those
well.
Are the jokes I make every day. there's chickens in it too. And this one chicken got laid by Flesh Gordon, had a cigarette afterwards, cracked me the fuck up.
That was the best part.
That was one of the
best
parts about the movie. Is that chicken smoking that cigarette going? Yeah.
About that.
I remember the funniest thing was them saying those two over there are going, did Flesh Gordon just fuck that chicken? And then right after they said that, the chicken was smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, he's like, you know what, it wasn't that bad.
I forgot about that, and when I saw it again, I'm like, oh Christ,
he,
I remember.
He had to do it to save the world. Otherwise, every man would have a flaccid penis if he did
it was my favorite
chicken,
part
so.
Of the movie. And you have to wonder, which was the worst part assignment for him?
Right?
The chicken or the queen?
Right, he ended up having to sleep with a really overweight queen, but you know.
Sleep with.
Yeah.
Once again, he was doing it
they
to save the world.
That bag. Over our head,
right?
She got out of it.
Yep.
They did a double bag.
Oh, she
on
needed.
That
she need. Oh yeah, double bagger. She
oh
needed,
man.
She wanted to see paper. What was that was giving her more pleasure
right.
than her husband.
And man, oh man, did she do that reverse cowboy on him?
And she sounded like Roseanne.
I know.
Right. Bars in this.
Right.
I thought. I really, really thought that she was the same actress who played in Angel Heart, and I looked her up, and it's not. But she sounded. Her voice was exactly like. That one character on the beach in Angel Heart, but it turns out it's not her.
She was a funny character because she had basically gimps following her around with cupcakes.
Right, feeding her.
You guys were saying you wanted something like that.
I believe
I want a gimp following me around with cupcakes.
I believe the actress's name, Maureen Webb, and she's only acted in a few things, but she's primarily a casting director. and she went by the nom de plume Deluxe. That was like her actress name in the Deluxe, you know, in the credits.
That makes total sense.
But otherwise, she is a casting director, and she cast for like 50 movies.
Yeah, I'm sure she does not put this on her resume, right?
So let's somewhere see. Along the line, yeah. somebody talked her into doing this.
You
and
know what?
Just let her go.
I'm gonna go up and I'm gonna blackmail her and I'm gonna say, you cast me in a movie or I'll let everybody know you were Queen Frigid.
Right? Queen Frigid.
Queen Frigid and all them cold bitches.
And the thing is that, you know, the poor jokes just come one after another after another after another. I mean,
some zingers in
it's,
there.
It's definitely one of those kind of approaches where we're gonna spray the wall and whatever sticks. Sticks well.
Oh, and it's sticky too.
So, before we go into more stuff,
that's my favorite part. What? Where all the cum comes down the chute.
They have to slide down a vagina water slide full of cum, basically.
As you do.
And then this big titty woman gives them a towel and dries them off. And,
then they find
a bar called the G-Spot where all those guys turn into babies and basically were in diapers and sucking
as
up boobs.
As you do, you know.
Yeah, you know. But like the guy said, it's weird having men there because they usually can't find the G-Spot.
Oh, that was a good point.
Did you notice the accent on the big titty woman wiping off the cum?
They all had accents, but she definitely had more of a Texas accent. Mm. There's even a guy with an Australian accent in there. So
you're giving Texas a bad name.
Right? I don't know if that's a bad name. I mean, she did dry him off. She was very friendly.
Yep.
Texas hospitality and all, giving y'all a towel.
There you go.
Exactly. Now, Paul, I have to ask you a question.
Oh, yeah.
How the fuck did you find this movie?
I told you, man. I saw this years ago back when I was looking for weird movies in the VHS store.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I saw the title, how could you pass that up?
Right. Was it behind the beats?
Yeah, it was one of those movies. back in the day, you used to have to separate.
Yeah. Well, I know. Yeah.
Well, you had an adult section. You would have an adult section, but then you would also have these other movies that were more adult-oriented, but weren't necessarily
porn movies. They're
not exactly
movies. X-rated. Like, but, they're X-rated, but they're not XXX-rated.
Right, but a lot of the movies I end up doing on exploitation sleazecast, things like, you know, Der Totenkamm and Necromantique and stuff like that, some of the harder kinds of stuff, usually were kept aside. Anything that was more than an R rating.
Yeah.
You know.
And I saw the cover art on the DVD, and if it's the same that was on the VHS tape, I'm sure that caught your eye too, because they had all the creatures and all the women on it. Mm. So it's like, I would look at that cover and be like, I kind of want to take this home. Right. You know?
Yeah, like, no, I could definitely see that.
It's like when you go to the movie store and you see those pirate movies that are like porn. It's like, oh, it's Pirates of the Caribbean, but with boobs. It's like, oh, it's Flash Gordon, but with boobs.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay.
And see, that's the problem. That's the problem with cover art today, like posters.
Some of them just don't look interestingly enough.
And most of them are cookie cutter, where they're the exact same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's because they don't want to spend the money on an eye-catching graphic. They just don't care.
Yeah.
But so we talked a little bit about the ridiculousness of the plot and some of the crappy acting and some of the good acting, but what about the production? That's really where this movie stands
out. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it shined in its production value.
Yeah, you said how much was the budget?
Budget was $1.5 million, and I'm willing to bet at least half of that went to the production.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
To the sets, to the designs.
Yeah. I think almost all of it. Almost all of it.
Like, remember back in those days, $1.5 million was
all the props, all the creatures, all of that were really well made, in my opinion, for back then. Right. And I'm sure a good budget went to, you know, hiring the playmates, too.
William Zelm, you know, must have made some money, as you did back in the day, by do all these awful porn movies that he made.
Right.
You mean Howard Zelm or something?
Yeah, Howard Zelm. He must have had some extra money because I don't know who else is going to finance
this
movie.
That's what I was going to say.
I
want to
see the cut scene and the bloopers and the commentary on this.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I do. I want to see the behind the scenes where they have to cut and they're just laughing at each other, making jokes.
I want the Blu-ray with the commentary. That's what I want.
Yes,
I'm
I want the commentary.
Somebody's IMDb review starts off with not really the worst movie, but definitely one of them.
I mean, it's bad. It's got a lot of good points, but it's, you know, there ain't no way that any traditional movie studio is going to touch this with a 10-foot pole or a 100-foot pole.
The co-writer Doug Frisbee played Constipation 2. We were joking about that earlier. Right, like, who's going to put their name as constipation
right,
two?
Right, like your IMBD resume is like, I was constipation one, and I was constipation two in this flesh cordon.
There you go. There you go.
And this was the last film directed by Howard Zinn.
I know. So it's like he had his moment of glory and he rode off into the sunset. But I believe he's still alive.
He's still alive.
So I'm, you know, it's like I've done the best thing I can do. I've done my masterpiece. Now we can retire.
I'm retired.
Right. You know, it's like a
I wonder what he's doing now.
Making money.
And put it in the diapers and in an institution somewhere.
There you go. As we all will be.
Yeah.
But, selling fast.
Right. Wow. There's only one left of the double
pack. But talk about flying under the radar. You know, right. Most of my friends never heard of this film. And unless you wandered into that particular VHS store.
Right.
And decided to go in the adventure behind the beads to see what was there. And then plunk down the money to, you know, summon up the courage to bring something like that home.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, it was made in 1990, so me and Cody would have been 2 years old when this movie was made. So we definitely have, in this long period of time, have never run into it, and I wouldn't have if it weren't for you. So thank you.
Of course, we really do. Oh, you know me.
A lot of the greatest movies were made like the year we were born.
Thousands of these kinds of movies.
Oh my God, I found some interesting information.
Okay, here we go.
So Howard T. Zim, after he was done with this stuff, after making his last adult feature film called Naughty Network in 1981, Zim began to focus on other endeavors, including a series of vocabulary training audio cassettes called Word Bank and Word Builders.
Oh, dear.
In the 90s, Zim edited two blocks of historic cartoons. The first is Golf in the Comic Strips.
Okay.
Was released in 1997. It collected golf-related cartoons from 1897 to 1995, and featured a foreword by Bob Hope. 2 years later, a collection called Lawyers in the Comic Strips followed. In September 2017, director Christian Genzel began production on the documentary Finding Planet Porno, which details Zim's life and career. Interviewees, including Zim himself and Flesh Gordon actors Jason Williams, William Dennis Hunt, and Bruce Scott. So look out for that.
There you go. Like all those documentaries. Oh yeah, I love documentaries about stuff like this because it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. I want to hear about this kind of thing. I want to hear what was going through their brains besides cocaine.
Right, and I'm assuming at least 10% of that budget was for cocaine.
There you go. Yeah, well, it's just
gotta have enough for the whole cast. So
I keep thinking of that Mystery Science Theater thing in Hobgoblins where they're like, it's the 80s, do a lot of coke and vote for Ronald Reagan.
That's what they did in the cutscenes.
Absolutely. But yeah, it was interesting. I mean, the comparison to when they did the actual Flash Gordon movie in the 80s, it's interesting. I don't know if you guys ever saw that one.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think so.
Yeah, with Brian Blessed and Sam Jones.
We know
Sam
what
Jones.
It is, but we have not seen it.
Oh, it's fun. It's very similar without all the sex jokes and all that, but it's visually similar.
Yeah, no, I can see where, you know, what it's doing with it. And if it has that serial vibe.
Yes.
And I dug that of this movie because, you know, back in the 30s and 40s or whatever.
And
50s. You know,
50s. I grew up watching Flash Gordon.
Right. There you go. So there you go.
The Dakota ring and send in for the cards and all that.
Oh, man. Wouldn't that be great for a Flesh Gordon Dakota ring?
Sure.
Would it be a
nipples on it.
ring. There you go.
There you go.
Oh, my God. All you are
right.
Marketing
decoding
genius.
Decoding that pussy with your Dakota.
Why aren't you rich?
Yeah, right. Why aren't you rich?
So Larry,
we're
I've got to ask you then.
We have a patent on this? We patent this?
You grew up a fan of the original
Flash
Gordon.
Flash, yeah.
So yeah. This has got to feel different.
Quite a bit, yeah. I passed out after 3 minutes. But I kept waking up, you know, periodically.
And seeing bits and pieces of it.
Like, oh my God. Yeah, I was mortified.
Were you thinking about, my God, what have they done to my favorite movie?
I was thinking about slitting my wrist.
I kept looking back at you and your face kept changing from different expressions.
I think my mouth was just hung open the whole time going, what?
Well, the good thing is, in my opinion, the good thing is that clearly they knew that this was going to be ridiculous nonsense, and they had fun with it.
Right?
Because yeah. otherwise, if they had tried to do this straight, it would have been a disaster.
I'm just glad I watched this with other people, so when I make jokes later referring to it, y'all know what I'm talking about. Because I'm going to use this material. Oh,
yeah.
I love it.
Outstanding. Good. Outstanding. Now, you know, a lot of the jokes fell flat, too. I mean, there's a lot of groaners, there's a lot of horse shit, there's a lot of stupid stuff.
Sir, are you saying that the jokes fell flaccid?
Yes, there were a number of flaccid jokes.
I think they overused the rim shot button enough to where it just kind of wore itself out.
Exactly.
There's
a lot of, like, I mean, there's a lot of jokes that just kept, I mean, they kept trying their hardest.
Asteroids that were their little asteroids with the butt plugs. With the butt plugs that had fired toxic gas.
20 of them. We had to watch every one of them.
Let's not forget the most lewd creature of it all, which was the octopus eater.
Yeah, yes. The octopus.
Which I was so sad when they threw that.
Right, when they killed the octopus.
Was that Maude Adams by any chance? Because I worked with her from Octopus Eater.
Oh.
That thing had a really big tongue. He was doing his best.
He couldn't get in there. I'm sorry.
You know, obviously it's a dig at Octopussy, but I've got to think, too, it's a dig at the Herbert West scene as well, that infamous scene.
Oh, from Reanimator?
Yes.
Maybe. Maybe, but I mean, I guess because it was sort of like a face going in there and everything.
Right,
but
right.
It was sort of disturbing, but
and distasteful.
But it was cute. I think
they made the prop and the actual octopus guy really well, you know?
Their budget
got put into making these critters and these monsters or whatever you want to call them actually look really cool.
Okay, speaking of disturbing, we have to talk a little bit about the shit boobs.
Oh, yeah.
There were shit boobs.
Yeah.
Shit boobs?
So, when they had to pass through an anus, basically. And they ran into a bunch of poo, so you got a bunch of people dressed up in costumes of poo, and all the female poos had poo boobies.
As you do.
There was even a little child poo.
He was a little shit.
Yep, a little shit. And all these poos, they had the crapteria, you know, and all this, and they were trying to cook Flesh Gordon and his, you know, his friends,
so that they could turn them into poo.
Right, because they were going to cook them,
eat them, digest
them,
and turn them into poo creatures too.
As you do,
which I don't know how that works.
It's like the assimilation of Mr. Hanky.
Right.
I know.
Trey Parker and Matt Stone got there, you know.
But then the scientists used some sort of laxative gum. So all the shit was flushed out, and then they found a shit spaceship right when those cheerleaders showed up, and they flew out of there.
Yeah. Were you taking notes during that?
I was paying full attention. I loved
it.
She loved it. I mean, she was going crazy with
it. I was paying full attention. I would love to audition and be cast in this movie.
Howard Zelm, he had a vision, and man, he stuck with it no matter what kind of weird tangent things went. Mm-hmm. I'm dying to know. He had to have been on something.
If they made $1.3 million from this movie, they probably lost it all when X-Lax was mentioned, because they were probably not a sponsor, so they probably sued them.
Maybe. I think it's one of those situations where, you know, you can say things like X-Lax in the same way that you can say Kleenex. Everybody knows what that means.
Yeah, it's not like product placement.
Do you want to drink a Coke when you really need a soda?
I don't know, though.
If it had been a huge Hollywood success and made a lot of money, they would have gone after them. But this flew under the radar.
I mean, it didn't even make its budget back.
So when are we going to make our own parody of this movie?
That's what I'm saying.
How could you parody a parody?
I want to be cast as either one of them cold bitches or Rotunda or something.
Make it to one up this one.
Right?
That's what it is.
Or we do a little skit.
While I have not seen any of Howard Zelm's porn movies, based on the titles, you know, like Hot Cookies and some of these other things, I get the feeling he made a lot of silly, ridiculous porn movies. And I think this was his way, why he did all this, was sort of to one-up all those and just kind of go all out.
These are our Halloween costumes for
next year. The only way... to approach
the ship-oop, the boob.
You can be one of the
only way
one.
To approach another movie like this is to one up all that. So you got to think of something that's even more over the top.
Oh my god!
I don't know how you could do it, but yeah, who would write it? I don't know.
Not me. I'm not. Maybe Sarah.
In
Sarah
my
could
dreams
write it.
Tonight, I'm gonna play all of this, and I'm gonna put myself in that movie.
Please, please make some write something with poo boobs. I mean, we need more poo boobs.
Y'all are
this.
So fascinated with the shit part of this movie. I'm fascinated
don't,
with
I'm
the
not.
Hot Playboy models walking around with their gimps.
It was all over the place.
Yeah, I was more into the boobs. I'm sorry.
I was more into the Playmates because I've been following, like, I watch all the Girls Next Door and all the Playmate stuff. Like, I auditioned for Playboy once. I loved Playmates.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't get in, but I did. It was, like, 12 years ago.
Wow.
But
did
like,
you audition actually for Hugh?
No, what they do is you basically go to the casting places, and this one was in Houston, and all the girls go. You actually pay them to audition.
Oh,
right? So they take a bunch of photos of you, and then they email you back if you get back to the next round.
That's
stuff
a scam.
Like that. It kind of is. It really was. But I could at least say that I did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
They auditioned for
yeah.
yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely was a sore thumb in there with all those other
that
girls.
That sucks, but...
You know? But, yeah, but it's like I always loved... Like, even when I was a young kid, my dad had Playboy magazines locked in the back of one of his cars, and I would stare at him through the window like, I want to be one of those girls. So, like, I grew up wanting to be one of those girls. So I was really fascinated by watching them through this whole movie because I'm like, I could look at their bodies and I could tell those are Playmate bodies.
Right,
like,
right.
I could tell.
A number of them in there. And so
like,
there you go.
Yeah,
there's,
you could tell, like, those are Playmate bodies.
There's
like,
your career
yeah,
move. You go
right?
from being in Playboy to being in... You
right.
know, Flesh Gordon meets the Cosmic Cheerleaders.
Right.
You may have lucked out.
I think you're okay.
No, definitely right. Now seeing where that business went, okay. Definitely,
yeah.
I definitely, like, dodged a bullet there.
Right.
That
I
mean, is
yeah.
white slavery
yeah.
at its worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those girls are used and
oh,
abused.
Oh, yeah,
so
especially,
much.
Like, when you watch the live reality shows now... It's so much different than I watched them when I watched them when I was younger. I was like, I want to be these girls. I watch them now. I'm like, oh my god! I definitely am glad I wasn't.
Yeah.
And yet none
yeah.
of them wore a poop
dodge
suit or had
right.
or had poo makeup
right?
on their faces.
But they definitely caught my attention in this movie. I was like, oh, okay. I like this one.
Yeah, there were three cosmic cheerleaders.
Right.
What did you think of them? A white one, an Asian one.
Right,
an
they did have
one
of every flavor.
Yes.
You know, and the pink one's shirt definitely was a little shorter than all the rest. They even in one scene had one of the girls hold it down because it kept popping up and showing her boobs. You know, so they cut it a little shorter than the others. They had the nice little like 80s thongs. You know, that went all the way up. Everybody had them, even the gimps.
There was a lot of nudity. There was a lot of boob, but you know, there was a lot of male nudity too. You saw a lot of male butt.
Right, all the males had thongs as well.
A lot of hairy buttocks floating around.
There was some chest hair being ripped out there.
I think
know.
There may have even been some dangle.
Yeah, there was a little bit of butt hair that was shown on accident.
You
know,
you saw some hole action.
Yep,
yep. There you go. There you go. When that's before any, without even getting plugged.
Yeah,
right.
The giant ape with a huge penis, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh my god! Yes, we forgot that character.
Right.
Urinating. Like
yeah.
Huff, I was thinking sitting on a planet.
It was like this big King Kong type.
It was
monster.
King Dong.
King
yes.
Dong. Yeah. King Dong.
King
Dong.
With a King Dong.
Yeah, King Dong, who worked
peeing,
on the movie set that Flesh Gordon was
off
working
of the
on.
Empire State Building.
He had a giant swinging wang. And then
oh,
some
man.
Girl accidentally got shot up his butt.
As you do.
Uh-huh. And then,
and then
he got
flew
out.
Right
and
through
he,
his stream.
Yeah, he climbed up on a building and started peeing, and the spaceship flew right under the stream.
Because of course,
the
why would you avoid that?
Right. Well, if you're gonna make King Dong, you're gonna use him a little bit.
Yeah. And you're gonna have it so it like sprays, but it literally looked like when you're going through a car wash.
Right.
So
right.
I was like, that's what I was thinking.
Right.
They're getting a car wash.
And it looked like one of many stop animations. Claymation kind of
right.
things. There was
a
lot
of
claymation.
That. I remember when
yeah.
I first saw the first claymation, I was like, I thought it was stop motion, I said, but
yeah.
it was like, you're like claymation. I was like, oh my god, that's awesome. That's
yeah.
all another one.
And
then another
you
one.
You could see, like, they tried to match up the film so
yeah.
that the actors were reacting to the claymation. It
yeah.
wasn't,
yeah.
didn't
when,
jibe up.
When the movie first started and he was basically acting as himself, there was these claymation characters, these aliens, and they were pretty cool looking. I thought the whole movie was going to be like that, which I'm kind of glad it wasn't, but it was a fun little taste in the
it's
beginning.
Interesting because I know our audience out there has seen a lot of Mystery Science Theater.
Mm-hmm.
That beginning thing with Mystery Science Theater with the crappy spaceship and the stuff on strings, That's what the movie was. The entire movie was built with that.
Yep.
With that level special effects, little sparklers with fire coming out of the rear ends of all the rockets.
Yep.
You could see strings on things moving things around. But they used a lot of models, but a lot of the models were intricate. I was very surprised at that.
Yeah, they had models and then they had Playboy models.
Right, and all kinds of models.
Some of the models almost reminded me of Actium Maximus, some of the models that they used there.
Don't talk about that.
So yeah, Actium Maximus lacked some of the fun that was in this particular
film. Yeah, that was, you know, you fell asleep during that, I fell asleep during Actium Maximus. You would definitely fall asleep during
that. It was a trauma movie.
You know, well, this felt like a trauma movie.
Oh God, yeah, I'm surprised.
Trauma wants this movie, I'm sure. Like, they're like, we gotta get our hands on this movie.
Lloyd probably got some pointers.
Oh yeah, Lloyd Kaufman must know that this movie exists. But you know, this is Howard Zelm's masterpiece, so he may not have wanted anybody else to touch it.
I don't know. I don't know who owns the rights or whatever. And you said that it goes for like $65 or whatever.
But that's for both of them.
Yes, like,
and
30,
you said there's only one left. Or
for
whatever.
The double pack, there's only one left. And yeah.
And you're going to buy it, right?
I don't have any money, but you know, if somebody wants to buy it for me, I'll give you my address.
I'm dying to know if that is Vinegar Syndrome, because this is right up Vinegar Syndrome's dark, scary alley. I'm dying
if
to know.
Not, they should be able to go and get this movie, because this is something that they would like.
They do have the single DVD for like $25.
Okay.
There you go. So you can buy this movie. I mean, and if you go to our website in a few in a month or so or whatever, when he updates it, he'll let you know all the ways to buy it.
20 minutes in, you were like, I'm gonna buy this movie.
I liked it. I mean, I was enjoying it. I was having a ball. Like, it was. I think I just kept going, what the fuck am I watching?
Right? Yeah, I think this is one of those movies that might be fun if you're having a party and everybody's smoking a little bit.
Yes.
You pop it in and you just see
or
the
drinking
see their
or whatever
reaction.
And you're just having a party.
The first time I watched this, I watched this by myself and it wasn't nearly as much fun. And then it wasn't until you bring in your friends and you torment them.
You're saying that I wouldn't like this movie the second time.
And that's
know?
The thing. Yeah. It's not quite as funny.
Right. It's that first immediate reaction. Like, reaction that's
like you already know what's gonna happen.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, you need
after
that
a while,
shock
the jokes,
factor that when you first watch it.
The jokes aren't as funny.
Yeah,
so,
they're not as fresh.
Yeah,
but I think it's funnier when you watch it with friends because you do get that Mystery 3005 where you all are just like making your own jokes at it in the commentary. Like that's where it's at.
Yeah, which I mean is fun, but you know if you're watching it by yourself, we have to watch a lot of these movies by ourselves to test whether or not we want to put them on our show and. We'll watch them by ourselves and be probably, at least I will be like, this is, like, I don't think I could watch this by myself.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And even this movie, I don't think I'd want to watch it by myself.
Yeah,
like,
watch it with friends.
Yeah, I would love to like be like Paul, where Paul just watches and see like keeps looking back to see if everybody's like laughing.
Right,
that's
like a good test.
Right.
Yeah. But I have to say, yeah, the whole thing with the chicken smoking, I had totally forgotten that, and when I saw it again, I'm like, oh God, how could I forget?
It's my funny favorite
moment in the movie.
The spaceship doesn't run unless the chickens are satisfied.
Exactly.
Well, they
just
got
like
it
our
to take off in the beginning by both the pilots sucking on this like mechanical tit.
Right. True.
So, sucking on mechanical tits and fucking chickens.
That's
the old
and that still hasn't hit everything. Remember, they landed on a planet of all of these hills that had nipples on them.
Right.
Had,
the Mammary Mountains.
The Mammary Mountains.
Yeah. It was more like mounds and mountains, you know. But it was hills. With nipples that squirted milk, and one of them had a nipple ring, and that's where they met the scrotum monster.
The scrotum creature,
right.
Which you said was, you think it was a...
It was obviously a male. They referred to it as a he, but it was dressed as a female, so I'm assuming
it
was a drag scrotum monster.
I don't know, it had a female voice.
It had kind of a, like an overly done fey kind of
right.
Thing. I think it was trying to make a gay joke is what I think it was trying to go.
So
for.
You think
it was
supposed
male.
To be
it was a male monster. I mean,
yes.
it was a
cross-dressing.
He was a dickhead.
I mean, he didn't have clothes, but had rouge, eyeliner, makeup, and stuff. You know, like drag queen.
And there's a joke that you guys didn't even get. Because remember, it took out something and it threw it over there and it turned out it was soap.
We didn't get it at first. He's like, I have some dial for you, and threw some soap. And Flash Gordon went to pick it up, and she tried to ram him in the ass.
Yep, and he's like standing there, like, and I'm like, oh.
We didn't even get it at first. He dropped the soap.
We didn't get it. I mean, you had to put that out. I don't think I would have got
it. It took us a minute to get it.
I don't think I would have got it if you didn't say it.
And even then, everyone was just like, oh.
Yeah, that's just, see, those are groaners that, like, the whole movie does, you know?
Right.
And the whole time when he's, like, on top of the whatever that thing is. Or whatever,
oh, yeah, he was, he's, like, all touching it and everything.
I was like, oh, God, it's going to shoot out.
Right.
And it's going to, like, you know, but it did shoot out into the, like, fucking
slide. Yeah, it's a little vagina slide thing. And then even at the end when they're saving the planet with the flaccid ray, what they used to save the planet was a prophylactic that was so strong it stopped the flaccid ray. So they put a condom on the flaccid ray to keep everybody safe.
Yeah, and just for a second, what about, did we mention the assistant, the assistant evil doctor, who's Dr. Adam Bomb? Yeah. His performance, you will never see a more over the top performance.
It was like
anyone.
A Beetlejuice Christopher Lloyd hybrid of just crack. This mad scientist. Oh yes.
Oh, like the Riddler and Joker and all of them.
Right
from
in this hospital gown where you can see his butt.
Did you like it or dislike it?
I hated it so much that I loved it.
Oh, okay.
Let's put it that way. Yeah. It was so bad. It was incredible.
Yeah, I enjoyed it myself.
My goodness. I mean, you're a professional actor. What does it take to just sort of throw every instinct or every bit of learning you've ever had and just go for it? Like
scrap
that?
Your inhibitions. Just go for it. Just be as silly as you want to be.
Lots of cocaine.
And I've done
that. So would you play that?
No, you've done that?
Yeah. Well, a lot of places, like I did Beetleborgs, and when I went on for the audition, you know, I was just no holes barred, because a lot of people told me, you're never going to make it in this town. This is the 90s. You're a 50s actor, because you do stuff that, like, Jackie Gleason would do and Red Skelton. And so I did it for these guys and the producers, and they looked at each other and they go, can you take that up a couple notches? In other words, they loved it.
Nice.
So they were just
I mean, let's face it. Al Purplewood has a few moments where it's a little bit over the top, but I thought, my God, this is unbelievably.
Well, that's how I got the role of Al Purplewood.
Beetleborgs, though. Did you work with Adam Rifkin on that? Was that who you worked with?
What, for Beetleborgs?
Yeah, for Beetleborgs.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, jeez. Adam Rifkin and them.
It was the last episode. I played Rudy McDougal, the comic publisher, and I had my brain sucked by the brain sucker.
As you do.
Oh. Yeah, it was just, oh my God.
That just sounds so amazing. I need to watch that episode. Beetleborgs used to be one of my favorite, like, kids shows or whatever. It's like Power Rangers and all that.
They were,
like,
They use the same people.
Yeah.
But you know, where there may have been, you know, 30 seconds here or there of Al Purplewood purplewooding himself.
Yeah.
That man, that I mean, the dirty. Whole his whole performance was like that. Just so.
Well, when
over
I did
the top.
Pan Man, that was a complete. Every scene Pan I was Man, in, I chewed the scenery.
Yeah.
In fact, Elvis the Alien just reviewed it and gave it total thumbs up. I don't know if you know who that is, but it's all over the nation right now. Pan went 10 years later.
Nice.
It's become a sleeper hit.
Nice.
And he kept saying, like, Larry Butler, every scene he was in, my God, he was just too expressive.
Sometimes that happens.
He liked it.
Nicolas Cage is the king of going way, way over the top and yet somehow making it perfect. I don't know how that you can do that, but he can.
Sometimes it works. You know,
sometimes it works. Most of the time, most actors can't do that and get away with it.
Nicolas Cage was my 15-year-old crush.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Is he still your crush now?
I mean, not as much, but, like, he set a precedent for my horrible dating life for a while.
Was it Face Off?
No, Con Air.
I watched Con Air
when I was in high school, and I fell in love with him and John Malkovich and Steve Buscemi and all of them. And I'm like, these are the type of guys I like.
Oh, God. Steve Buscemi.
Well, which was the one that we did? We did,
Vampire. God damn it.
I know, I'm kidding.
Something Vampire.
Something Bites.
What?
Is it Bites? Love Bites or something?
No. Are you talking about the Nicolas Cage Vampire movie?
Yeah, the one that we did.
It's,
What happens when you get old? You can't remember stuff. Tell me about it.
It's gonna happen.
It's just gonna happen.
Hold on.
Should do Once Bitten with Jim Carrey.
Yeah, that's not really an indie movie though. Like we could do it for like maybe for like Film Freaks or something, but not for here. Is a Kiss of a Vampire or
Vampire's Kiss.
Vampire's Kiss.
Vampire's Kiss. Yeah, have you seen that?
I actually haven't, because he's done many movies. I've seen like 80% of them.
If you've ever seen all the memes where he's going nuts with his eyebrows, they're all coming from that
movie. I need to watch that one, because there's still a few that I haven't seen, just because he takes almost any role. So he's done so many movies.
Right.
But,
this is the one that everybody said, okay, Nick Cage is a little crazy, blah, blah, blah. This movie cemented him as being the king of way over the top. But it worked. It worked perfectly. Mm-hmm. And very rare can you find somebody who can make that kind of a commitment and has the talent to actually pull it off.
Yeah.
And man, what stones you've got to have to do that. I would never be. I mean, I'm weird. I'm crazy. But I couldn't do that. Just amazing. So fair enough to that actor. He was just amazing.
Yeah, he's done that with the bees, you know, and the Wicker Man.
Like, yeah, that was over.
Not the bees.
He goes over dramatic and over the top, and he loves that shit. And I think
he commits.
I think he picks movies these days that he can top himself on, you know.
Well,
because even Face Off had a little bit of his overacting.
I just watched The Color Out of Space, which is really good, by the way.
Fantastic.
I put it on the other day, but I put it on, unfortunately, when I was tired. So it was like I was really getting in, like watching the first part of it. And I was like, I was interested, and then I fell asleep. So I gotta put it back on.
He's kind of holds back for the first half of the movie, and then the second half, he's the Nicolas
Cage. He's Nicolas Cage.
We all come to love.
I gotta replay it, because
it's really good.
I only got 5 minutes into it.
Oh, yeah. In the beginning, it's not really about him anyway.
No,
and then it becomes,
no.
When it becomes about him, oh boy.
And I love me some Richard Donner. He's one of my favorites. You know, he's awesome.
But this movie, I think I enjoyed it the most out of everybody. And I wouldn't mind buying it. I wish it wasn't so expensive, but, you know, I would definitely show it to other people, put it on my shelf.
Well, we have come to that point in the show where we have to start talking about a score. So, here at Indie Film Cafe, we have the stinkometer by which we score our movies, where the lowest score has only a little bit of stink, and the higher the score is a whole big, fat steaming pile of stink. So, if you think it's not very good, you would give it a higher score, and if it gets really good, you give it a low score. And, you know, 1 to 10, and then we can do a half step if you're feeling kind of subtle, 4.5, 5.5, that kind of a thing. Now, we're only going to take 3 scores, but I'm going to let everybody give their score, because we all enjoyed this particular movie, and I'm dying to see what kind of scores we're going to generate. So, I'm going to start off with Sarah.
I mean, I'm going to give it a 2, though, because, like, I would give it a 1, but it was ridiculous. But I honestly, like, I enjoyed it. I really did. I laughed. I was so suspenseful. My mouth dropped open. I thought, you know, like, it was the cast was into it. They were fun. Like, the script was fun. It just was joke after joke after joke. Like, it had me rolling. I didn't pick up my phone really through the entire thing. I was just into it.
I didn't have my phone either.
I would show it to other people. Like, I just thought it was titillating.
Nice. perfect word for you. Excellent. Well, Cody, you're next.
I would say a 4. It kept my attention. It gave me genuine reactions. I laughed. I was constantly nudging the person next to me, just that funny. So it was good. So I'd say 4.
It definitely is funner to watch with your sexual partner, because then you can make all the jokes to them going, I do that at home. It's hilarious.
Nice. Larry.
Well, I was pretty much shocked out of my mind.
That's fine.
So
That's
would have
cool.
given it a much worse score, but because of the things that were just mentioned, I think maybe I'll even it out with a 5.
Wow. I'm very surprised.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
I want to
thank you for this religious experience. Never forget you for this.
I always find something extra special for you.
Well, like I said, they did good with the props and all of that, too. So you can't base your score just on the script.
That's why I'm Yeah. Totally balanced.
And this time we didn't have your 14-year-old daughter watching it.
Yes, no, that's a good thing.
No, I made her, well, I didn't make, but I did not realize a movie that we picked out for G. Larry Butler and his daughter, Bonnie, in the was the third season, yeah, last season, was a movie with a lot of sex and nudity and stuff.
Awkward.
And very awkward. Yeah. And
she was horrified.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, crap. So
you scarred her for life.
Yeah,
well done, Moody.
Yes, but this time we did not have her for this.
She said she forgives you. But
oh, okay.
She'll never come back.
Well, yeah, she'll never come back. Well, probably not. But that's okay.
What would be your rating on this one?
Well, I'm going to have to go with an opposite rating than you guys. I'm that's sorry. Okay. I've that's seen okay. a lot Teach of movies these
You've
days.
You've seen a lot more than I have. This is new for me, so I'm excited.
So I'm going to have to give it an 8.
There you go.
And this is it. Okay. So this is why. It is a very well put together movie. Like, I'm not going to lie. This had some great sets. Well, I mean, not great sets, but fun sets, you know. Fun monsters, you know. The acting was not that great at times, especially the overacting.
Oh, yeah.
The direction was just so goofy and immature and juvenile.
All on purpose.
Did feel like a 12-year-old wrote this, even though it was a... I think
he
listened to
him. He's like, you dare kid, get off my lawn.
At the time, he was like 50 years old or whatever. He was writing this stuff, so I don't know.
Drugs.
So I, yeah, or wait.
Drugs and playmates.
Exactly. So I, sorry, I still have to give an 8 because I just think it was pretty, pretty shitty.
Constipation number
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I have to say too, I'm going to give it an 8.5 because this is like the 5th time I've seen this movie. And like I said, the jokes get flatter and flatter every time I see it. The fun that I get from this film is inflicting it on others and seeing their reaction to it. I can't really watch this one by myself.
And I can understand you watching it so many times and just being sick of it, you know. And you watch a lot of movies too.
Right.
But for somebody who is inexperienced and as noob as me, it just brightened my eyes.
Well, that's great. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. There is a level of fun in this particular movie that helps it along, which is why I wouldn't give it a 10.
Right.
We've seen much worse than that, where it just was not,
if
just
it wasn't
missing
so
the
funny,
fun factor.
It would get
the Easter Bunny versus Santa Claus. Yeah.
If it wasn't so funny, it would have gotten a different score.
Right.
But it actually kept
Yeah, that's right. It helped a lot. Can I change my score?
But yeah, no, it was one of those movies where I think it did have some fun to it and some, I mean, it was fun the whole way through. Like, I enjoyed watching it, but I enjoy watching these kind of movies,
right,
you know,
right.
Like, this is what we, you know, we were talking about earlier that, Paul likes to find things that I've never heard of or seen. And I like to find things that he's never heard of or seen. And I mean, this definitely was something that none of us, except for Paul, had seen, you know, so. And Paul, had you only seen him once before?
Oh, no, I'd seen it a few times.
Oh, okay.
It had been a good while, though.
Has Gary seen this?
I don't think he may have. I haven't shown it to him.
Okay. I don't think Gary seeks out movies unless you're showing it to him.
He has now. He does.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy, you've termed him.
I have.
I've
infected
Gary.
Another person.
I'm sorry, Gary.
Oh, he loves it. Are you kidding?
Oh, well, no. He loves it because you fucked him up. So make him do it.
This is one of the movies that, one of the worst movies you never know you wanted to see.
Yeah. Right.
There
perfect
you go.
Example of it. Yeah, it's... I was not expecting to actually, I mean, with the title, I knew sort of what I was getting myself
right,
into.
Right,
but aside from that, I wasn't like, oh my God, this is going to be something I wouldn't have, I don't think if this came across my Amazon wish list thing, I wouldn't be like, I should go and buy that one.
It was a heavy trip.
And trust me when I say this as far as experience goes, when you see this by yourself, it's a much different feeling than when you see it.
Yeah.
With a group. But
when
you lose that party atmosphere, a lot of the humor just kind of falls flat, and it's just juvenile, like he was saying.
Watch it with your parents.
Yes! No.
Watch it with your pearl-clutching friends.
Watch it with your friends, your lover.
Watch it with your pastor.
Yes. Oh, no. People who are easily offended. That will be a lot of fun.
There's too many women in it for that, Jonathan.
Oh, God. So one of my friends' dad, when I was young, we were watching, and young, and this is going to make you laugh, but the South Park, Bigger, Longer, Uncut. Mm-hmm. And we were watching it in his dad's room, because I guess the living room was taken. And his dad walked in. His dad's a very big Christian, you know, guy or whatever. Walks in, sits down, and turns the movie off for us. Says, nope, you can't watch this movie. And it made me sad, so I had to go home and watch it.
His head would have exploded if this movie was
out. Oh, God, yeah. No.
Because this is South Park on a whole lower level.
You know, that's probably why I enjoy it so much, because I'm such a big South Park fan.
There you go.
No, this is definitely the humor. So
right,
I can
it's
see,
definitely the humor.
So Trey Parker, well, at least I know Trey Parker was a big fan of Troma. That's why Cannibal the Musical, one of the movies that they did, was actually part of Troma, you know, or whatever. So I guarantee you this is something he found at the video store.
Oh, I'm
sure.
Like, we need to have dancing poos. Mr. Hankey.
Exactly. They're probably high and watching this movie.
Every movie should have talking dancing poos. Come on.
Right? And all the female poos need to have pooties.
Pooties.
Or shit boobs, as I call them.
Shitties.
So while we're here and before we sign off, let's talk a little bit about stuff that we're doing. So Sarah, what about you? What are you doing these days that you want other folks
still
to know?
Really, the only thing I'm doing right now is with Jonathan, and that's the Horror Film Lovers podcast, and I have a bunch of acting projects going on with him as well. That's really all I'm doing at the moment.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
Cody, what do you got going on?
Just writing music, playing shows, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, he's the metal musician.
Yeah, very cool.
What's your band name?
We're called Malignant Rot. We're a little bit more extreme than death metal, but not as extreme as grindcore.
Are you sure you don't want to rename your band to the Pooh Boobs?
We might.
Feculent.
We'll write a song about it.
There you go. There you go. What about you, G. Larry Butler? What's going on in your world?
Oh, God, what is going on with you?
What's not going on?
Yeah, what's not?
The last 2 years have been amazing. So
you have like 20 projects.
Oh, more than that now.
That are coming out.
A couple dozen in the last year and a half. And so I have trouble scheduling things, but I'm really looking forward to working with you folks. And I've just finished a project, Jerry Giangelo project called Obscura, which is like almost a big budget film. It's not a studio. It's in between indie and studio. And I play his father. And, you know, now I play a lot of grandfathers and fathers, but still it's okay. And so I'm looking forward to playing the governor in your project.
Yeah, you get to play the governor of Echo Lake. Yeah. You know, so, we're excited. Get to see it perform, like, you know.
Yeah. So it's just amazing stuff. I got Pan Man 2 coming up. And oops, I shouldn't have said that, but anyway, now everybody knows.
I can hear that after
10 years. So anybody out there that wants to see number one, it's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, well, we just watched a bunch of number one. So
and some number twos.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly number twos.
Mostly number two. What about you, Mr. Moody?
That's it. I mean, we're just shooting Scream Queen Campfire, some stuff up here for that, and doing a bunch of podcasts here. We got Horror Film Lovers. We'll start back next year, but we're getting a head start on that. You and I, Paul, have a million projects, podcasts. So, is there any ones that you wanted to particularly shout out about?
Not quite yet. I'm still trying to get my weird ducks in a row for all the other podcast shows that we have coming.
I know
up
you
here,
still. So. I mean, you're still gonna do Sexploitation second season next
year. We'll
do
that with Rebecca or whoever.
I shout out to the three of us that are doing Hooked on Hitchcock.
There you go.
It's Psycho.
And then, we got a lot of stuff going on, so there's so much. Just this week, like, we're doing, like, 5 podcasts. Recording, you know, some stuff for Scream Queen Campfire, so just very, very glad we were able to get everybody out here, and we got to meet these guys, you know.
Yep.
Larry, we've met before. We've worked with, you know, we've done the podcasting stuff with, but you guys.
All of me and Jonathan's podcasts have all been long distance, so this is our first meet after a little over a year, almost 2 years of
friendship. Welcome to Virginia.
Yeah.
And you know,
yeah, we are Texans. This is my first time in Virginia.
Yes,
I'm so pleased that I'm able to work with you, nice folks, and I'm so super pleased that I'm able to show you a talking, singing poo movie.
Yeah.
With all kinds of fart and dick jokes and ridiculous.
You told. I mean, you warned us about that beforehand. Hey,
that's my bread and butter.
I don't think we were very. Like ready,
you know? I wasn't expecting all of that, but you know, yes. I'm glad. I'm yeah, happy.
It was a pleasant surprise,
right? Yeah.
You didn't know you wanted it, right?
Yeah, I didn't know I wanted it till I got it.
That's what she said. She said. Outstanding. Right. All right,
the
guys.
Poop guys should have had corn in them or something, though.
Right.
Not very realistic. Those tits were all fake.
Thank you all very, very much for joining us in this episode. Please pay attention because we all have lots of other episodes coming up. And who the heck knows what Mr. Moody's going to pull out of his Uranus next episode. I'm sure now that the glove has been tossed, he's going to try and find something stinky and weird.
I've got something planned.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're almost done season 4.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I think you've got one more episode yourself, mm-hmm. and I think for your second to last episode, you went all out, you know, so.
Like I said, I saved it up for Mr. G. Larry Butler.
I did Killer Biker Chicks, and you were like, I'm going shitty as well.
Shitting boobs. There you go.
But you still, I'm surprised you guys gave great, you know, scores and everything.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
You.
Yeah, that's we only got two stinky scores.
There you go. There you go. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the program, and please tune in next month, and we will see you next time on Indie Film Cafe.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. Oh, see, I'm still up in the red.
Okay.
So but is that that's just me. Now I'm not in the red. Oh, I still, I can be. Your fucking monkey's in the red.
Hello. Is it recording?
It's recording.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Pause. Oops, nope, it's still going. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Blooper reel.
Nope. Oh.